We fear not being in control and able to control our own environments and our own futures. And we like to have God all figured out and explainable too. It's difficult for people of faith to actually live by faith sometimes. We'd rather rely upon our own reasoning abilities and the education that we've gained. Mystery and having things left unknown or unknowable or unsettled is difficult for many of us. We like to tell other people that God is in control, but then we have to learn and relearn over and over again that same lesson. God is in control. I'm not God. So this morning, go down to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord. So often part of our problem is a problem of perception, really. We say that we have a big God, but our perception and how we react in the foxholes of our lives tend to demonstrate that we have actually a small God. Author J.B. Phillips once wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. When we think we've got God tamed and all figured out, our God is too small. When we think God cannot do something, our God is too small. When we believe that God is always on our political side, our God is too small. When we think God only likes our kind of music or our worship style, our God is too small. When we think God would never, whatever, God is too small. An English author named Evelyn Underhill once wrote, if God were small enough to be understood, he wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. Almost all of our spiritual problems, says Pastor J.D. Greer, like things like doubt and apathy and unhappiness and insecurities come from a view of God being too small. We ultimately cannot predict, control, manage, or completely understand or explain God. And that makes us small. God, very big. Isaiah got it right in his prophecy when he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55. Is the God who reshaped history in Jeremiah's day still with us today? Is the God who both relents and reconsiders still at work in our lives today? Is the God who holds out reformation and new possibilities still among us today? Go down to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord. So this morning we look at another one of Jeremiah's visual aids or symbolic acts as a prophet of God. Last time we looked at that linen belt that Jeremiah had, that brand new linen belt God told him to go and buy, and then he buried it in the rocks down by the river, right? And then many days later, he was asked to dig it up, and it was kind of rotten and destroyed, and it kind of pointed to the spiritual decay that was happening in Jeremiah's day in the nation of Judah. Well, today we go down to the potter's house or his workshop in order to see what God would tell us or show us there. As I mentioned last time, we know that God is about to punish the nation for their sin and their rebellion against God. And Jeremiah's sole purpose in life, his whole career, his whole function is to announce the coming of that judgment, but also to hold out hope for God doing something new in the future through the new covenant. And one of the things the prophet needs to overcome in his audience, in the minds of his audience, was the notion that it was just inconceivable that God would actually allow his hometown of Jerusalem and his favored people of Judah and his home itself of the temple to be destroyed. God would never do such a thing. So they continued to live out of their stubborn and their hard heart, to live however they wanted to live, to follow the ways of their culture while at the same time only just giving lip service to Yahweh God. In other words, they had a false sense of security. Their perception of God was too small. They thought they had God all figured out, tamed, and locked away in a temple in Jerusalem somewhere. They couldn't see God as being big enough to destroy his own people and allow the Babylonians to come and take them away into exile. tear down his temple and then start over with his people. So Jeremiah used also to show them and introduce them God who's about to respond. In verse 3 it says, "So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel." That looks pretty good actually. It's not supposed to look so good. It's not supposed to look good. Verse 4, "But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. The lump of wet, malleable clay was marred or disfigured in some way. So Jeremiah sees the potter squished the marred clay back down again into a lump of clay. He doesn't throw away the clay. He formed it into another pot, it says, shaping it as seemed best to him. The skilled potter knows the clay, the potential that the clay has. The potter has mastery over the clay, and he bends it and forms it and shapes it according to his will." This is interesting, Jeremiah must have thought, said to the Lord. So what's the message here in the potter's house? God says, "I'm glad you asked." Verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, what the potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Now, here's the rub that might wrong you this morning. God has a right to do with us as he pleases. God has a right to do with us in our lives and our futures as God pleases. God has the power to shape and reshape us, to form us and reform us, to correct us and to punish us and to empower us as seems best to him for his purposes and for his own glory. And I know that's shocking for some of us who might think that we're the ones who are really in control of our lives. It's shocking for those of us who have ever said something like, "My God would never." Well, I don't know who your God is. The God of the Bible says, "Go down to the potter's house. There I'll give you my message. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord." Our lives rest in God's hands for his purposes and plans. God is sovereign over our lives. God can do with you, Ken, what the potter, as the potter does to the clay. But you know, the good news is that I know the potter. I have a relationship with the potter. I'm in a covenant relationship with the potter. That doesn't mean that I'm always get what I want because I'm in that relationship, or that it doesn't mean that I've got the potter all figured out or tamed or locked away in a temple or a church somewhere. Oh no, the potter I know from the Bible is a big potter, God. And his ways are not always easy for me to understand in my life. Why, God, would you do this? Why, God, would you allow this to happen? Why, God, is this going on right now? What's tomorrow going to look like, or next week, or next year? But I do know the potter God continues to reform and reshape me for his own purposes, for his own glory, and I trust him to do so. I trust the potter. The clay of the earth, the dust that which we were formed, according to Genesis 2, must trust and yield to the hands of the potter. You know, remain flexible in order to go here or there, or to become this or that, or to be used by God in ways that he wants to use us. We have to yield to the hands of the potter, to remain flexible, to do what God wants us to do, and go where God calls us to go. "Can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord." And now verses 7 through 12, we get this elaboration of that visual aid that we often see throughout the book of Jeremiah when we're looking at those different visual aids or symbolic acts that Jeremiah performs. There's usually an explanation right there. God, through the prophet of Jeremiah, makes clear what this potter's house analogy means for that specific context. God may relent and he may reconsider his plans in response to human action. actions. And I think that's important to point out here. God may relent or reconsider his plans in response to human actions. This elaboration shows that God is actually more willing to change than the people who continue to choose to live according to their own stubborn hearts. God is willing to relent, but he's also willing to reconsider. Well, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look at verse 7 and following. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted or torn down or destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster that I had planned. Verse 9, and if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good that I had intended to do for it. Well, first, notice the wording there. Uprooted, torn down, destroyed, built up, and planted. Where have we heard those words before? Jeremiah chapter 1, right, is in the calling of Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 10. God will relent from sending punishment on his people if they do what? If they repent, if they turn away from their sins, and they turn to follow God. But he will also reconsider the good he intends if his people do evil in his sight or disobey him. God has a right to do those things. So here, even in his sovereignty, God holds out the possibility of a different outcome based upon humble repentance of his people. But in the end, the responsibility for the destruction of Jerusalem and that exile into Babylon will rest on the sinfulness of the people who did not repent, who did not turn from their evil ways to follow the one and true living God and serve him only. A personal and national movement toward God could have brought about a different outcome, a different result. The prophet holds the door open for God's grace and God's forgiveness. And that door is open for us as well, you know it. The door is open for that grace and forgiveness to go on a different path. God the Father sent the Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins through his death on the cross. The cup of forgiveness is there because of what Christ has done for us. The curse of judgment and being lost in sin can be reversed through repentance, through turning away from sin, to turning to follow God. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Come to repentance. But let us not become arrogant in thinking that we've got God in a box or God all figured out. Let us not assume that because we were raised in a Christian family or we're part of generations of families that were part of a particular church somewhere that God would never discipline us. Jeremiah says God may also reconsider the good that he had intended. And again, God has a right to do such a thing. Go down to the potter's house. There I'll show you my message. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord. But someone might say, well, if God is forming and shaping us like clay in his hands, then I'm not really responsible for what I do, for my own actions. How could I be blamed for my sinning and my rebellion? Well, God made me this way. The Apostle Paul addresses this in his letter to the Roman believers too, when he was talking about the Gentiles being included in the covenant. In fact, he actually uses our Jeremiah passage to make his argument. In Romans 9:19-21, he says, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? Verse 20, he says, but who are you to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay pottery for special purposes and some for common use? And the assumed answer there is, of course he does. God is sovereign in his dealings with humanity, and he can make some lumps of clay for special purposes, and he can take some lumps of clay and make them into more common everyday uses and purposes. He can make fine china, and he can make Corningware, right? For his own purposes, for his own will, what he wants to use them for. Faith comes into play when we trust God to form and reform us throughout our lives, and we yield our lives to God the potter. But he's merciful, he's a righteous potter. God knows us and our potential and how he wants to use us in the world. Do you know the potter? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life right now? Do you trust him with your future? Wardrobe, author C.S. Lewis wrote, Lucy asked Mr. Beaver if Aslan, the lion, is safe. And Mr. Beaver replies, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. God is the king. He's sovereign. He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. And he's righteous. What's the lesson of the potter's house for you this morning? What is God telling you as you come to the potter's house? What is he saying about your life right now or your future? Like Jeremiah of the Old Testament, Christians today are called to embody and to live out the message of God to the world through acts of love and service and sacrifice. We demonstrate a gospel message of love and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. A new and different path is possible, and most of us know this deep down because we've taken that different path. As we've repented, as we've surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we remained malleable in the hands of a loving God who wants to reform us, to reshape us, to use us in a different way. If we had remained hardened in our hearts, we would have been destined for that scrap heap of hard and marred potsherds. The door of life transformation, though, is open through faith in Jesus. You see, believers carry in their hearts and their lives this a treasure, not deep down somewhere, but openly and boldly in the words that we choose to use, the actions we do with our own families, but also in our own communities. In 2 Corinthians 4, 9 to 11, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Are your problems too big, or is your God too small? Go down to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares the Lord. You see, by surrendering our lives into the hands of the all-powerful, loving, gracious, heavenly potter, we find new life. We find renewed purposes. We find joy in being used by him in whatever way he sees fit to use us. We yield to him. So praise God for his sovereign hand in our lives and in the world. Would you join me in prayer? God of change and transformation, we come to you with all of our stress and all of our uncertainties today, with all of our own baggage that we bring into the room today. Lord, some of us have been fighting you, resisting your plans and your movements in our lives for change. But Lord, you're calling to us today. You're asking us to yield to you, to trust you. Some of us have been actively doing the opposite of what you've revealed to be your will for our lives, your commands. And some of us have even hardened our hearts, given up even on the possibility of change. Lord, help us to remain pliable in your hands. And so be shaped into the people and the church that you've called us to become. That does require trust, Lord. Help us to trust you. Forgive our resistance and set us free to believe today. And through our lives and your church, may you receive all of the glory, all of the honor and praise. In Christ's name alone we pray. Amen.